Welcome to the CB Wallet Podcast. I'm Phil Lucas.
And I'm Phil Jarrett. Why are we here, Phil?
Well, we are going to talk about the greatest disasters in world history and a few smaller ones too. What went wrong, how it went wrong, and whether it was our fault or God's fault.
And remember, Phil, it's not our intention to make light of the sometimes quite substantial mortality rate to some of these disasters.
Nope.
We're just interested in finding out what went wrong. And be honest, if it came on the news right this moment on your little phone there, if it popped up, you'd be interested, wouldn't you?
I would, Phil. Nothing I like more than vegetating on the sofa under a duvet, watching hours of rolling news as the big story develops. One of my favourite things.
Love being unemployed. Absolutely marvellous. What are we talking about this week?
The Slapton Sands tragedy.
It was a last chance to get things right on D-Day and the right place to do it. Slapton Sands was a near-perfect match for conditions on Utah Beach in Normandy. But as a convoy of 8 landing craft packed with tanks and troops headed for South Devon, it was attacked by German fast patrol boats. 4 vessels were sunk or damaged. Many of the nearly 750 dead were never found. Today, families and villagers are gathering around a US tank recovered from the site of the attack. On the beach nearby, 749 boot prints, reminding us of losses far greater than in the real attack at Utah Beach just over a month later.
So, Slapton Sands. I'd never heard of this before. I'd never even heard of Slapton Sands, the holiday destination.
Ah!
Have you been there?
Yes, a couple of times.
Pretty?
Yes, all right. It's nice enough. You wouldn't know anything horrendous had ever gone on there. It's just, it's a fairly bog-standard sort of British, well, we're going to come on to all this.
Camping holiday sort of area,
camping,
right?
Camping, little guest houses, teeny rooms.
I really like camping.
You do, don't you?
Yeah. Mm. You do. You hate camping, don't you?
No, I'm not. I hate anything that involves being in a tent at a music festival.
Oh,
but
yes,
then
music
I hate music
festival
festivals.
It's
but
music
if you said
aspect,
to me, let's go away camping for the weekend.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah, it's nice. I'd rather go to a hotel.
Really?
Obviously.
I like cooking outside.
Oh, do you?
All of that, yeah.
I just don't like cooking.
Oh, no, you don't, do
no.
you? Or eating anymore. There's nothing of you, is there?
I'm getting there.
Listeners can't see Phil Lucas, but you've lost. How much weight have you lost?
2 stone.
Unacceptable. When are you putting that back on?
I'm not.
Really?
Keeping it off.
How are you going to do
I'm
that?
I'm going to carry on occasionally fainting and just getting on with it.
It's not healthy to occasionally faint.
It's only happened twice.
That's not part of a balanced diet.
I'm trying to still work out exactly what the problem is.
I know, I can tell you what the problem is. I can tell you what the problem is.
No,
you're not eating anything.
No, I am. I'm eating the required calories because I calorie count.
Oh, okay.
What I think is the problem is something I'm lacking by being vegetarian.
Oh, good point.
I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
I'm probably not eating enough, to be fair.
Yeah.
Because I ate enough in Nuremberg.
Yeah.
And I felt absolutely fine.
I bet.
I didn't calorie count in Lanzarote. Felt
fine.
Absolutely fine.
Yeah.
Anyway, the thing is, I'm fine.
Okay.
And apart from a graze on my knee, a small bruise on my head, and my slight inability to move my wrist backwards and forwards, I'm fine.
Oh, and you look great.
It was only the kitchen I went down in.
How long were you out for?
It was only been seconds, but all I remember is going, I feel really faint. I think I'm going to faint. And this happened last time, so I better kneel down so it's smaller.
Yeah.
Then I just remember lying on the floor, twitching,
yeah,
shouting out no really loudly. And then I went, oh, I'm all right now.
Right.
Well, that was weird. And yeah, you know, I still ran a personal best yesterday.
Well,
so
eat some food.
You know,
I'm going to bring some sweet and sour chicken in for you to eat.
To be fair, since that, I've...
You're upped it.
I've upped it again.
Right, Phil, so slapped on sands.
Yeah, sorry, I've just had a text from my mother. Many thanks. That would be fine. No rush. Good.
Oh, that's good. Okay. What are you going to do for your mother?
I'm going to sort out her shares.
Oh, in what? Union Carbide?
Yeah. Yeah, she wants them gone quickly.
Okay, so Slapton Sands tragedy. This is war.
Yes.
So I don't think we need to be too careful because everyone knows what war is. We've all seen Platoon. You know, war is hell, isn't it? So, you know, I don't think there's anything really... There's nothing in this which is over and above war, is there?
Not over and above, but...
I mean, it's horrible, but,
yeah,
you know, it's war. So...
Yeah.
And, you know, it's the Second World War. It's not rare for horrible things to happen in the Second World War, is it?
No, but this is it's an unusual situation,
yeah,
an unusual tragedy, and also one not many people know about.
And happened in this country.
And, yeah, happened in this country, and arguably, to a certain degree, covered up.
Yes, so Without further ado, what was the Slapton Sands tragedy, Phil Lucas?
A D-Day rehearsal exercise for American soldiers at Slapton Sands in Devon that all went disastrously wrong. Twice.
When did it happen?
The 27th and 28th of April 1944.
How many people died?
Officially, now it is 749, but it could have been more than that.
Again, like the that tunnel fire we did. No one really knows,
not
I suppose.
The exact amount, yeah.
Somebody probably knows, you know, but they're just not telling us, right? Right, so, Phil, give me some background. Where is Slapton Sands?
It's in Devon. It's about 40 miles just south of Exeter.
Cool.
And about 30 miles east of Plymouth.
Prime camping country.
Prime camping country. And it is a pretty beach, and it is very popular in the summer with tourists. As the Visit Devon website says,
Slapton Sands is a beach where families and friends can enjoy great holidays. South Devon's Mediterranean-style climate means that the sea is safe, clean and calm. And there are plenty of water sports, such as surfing, windsurfing and canoeing to try out. If you get peckish or have forgotten to pack the sandwiches, there's a beachside cafe serving drinks and light refreshments. And Slapton Sands has facilities for anybody with mobility restrictions, with disabled beach access and toilets.
Lovely.
Sounds all right, doesn't it?
Sounds amazing.
Yeah. Well, I'm afraid that the current family beach holiday vibe with disabled access hides a bloody and very tragic past.
It would be difficult to get that into the advert, though, wouldn't it? It would say, Slapton Sands, the grave of 749 British soldiers, is a perfect place for paragliding.
Just, I have no problem with letting that go. But because this is an army one, a war one, and therefore open very much to pedants, it was American soldiers. You said British.
Oh.
I appreciate in the general,
but
we have to be very wary. Nobody will correct you quicker than a military enthusiast.
They absolutely went, hello to military enthusiasts. They'll probably go, well, I'm not really an enthusiast, I'm more of a historian. Okay, sure. So let's start in 1943. I always start in 1943, right?
I haven't left it.
No, you haven't, have you? Okay. Now, what's the first thing you think about when you think about 1943?
Second World War, right in the middle of it.
Right in the middle of it, right? And the tide was turning at this point.
Yay.
All right, we're thinking we might actually win the bastard.
Yes.
Okay. The tide's turning in favour of the Allies. Who are the Allies, Phil?
Us.
America.
France.
For whatever they did.
God bless them. Hello. we're the main ones. Russia,
yeah.
Or Soviet Union.
Yeah.
Italy, I think, were just on the turn.
Yes, and that's it. I suppose another Australia.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Commonwealth countries, of course, at that time was correctly named the Empire.
When? Was it still the Empire in those days?
Still in those days, yeah.
What do you think of, you know, when America says that they won the war? How do you feel about that?
I think it is simplistic, inaccurate, but I understand why they say it.
I sort of agree with it.
We would have struggled without them.
We would have struggled without them.
Yeah, probably not won it without them.
I think we probably would have lost it without the Americans.
But it wasn't a single-handed.
Yeah. They didn't just sort of like...
Yeah. But ultimately, thank God they did come on.
It's not like when your dad comes round to your first flat and bleeds the radiators for you. Like, we were involved. We were getting it done.
And to be fair, Churchill had been pushing for American involvement from the absolute beginning because he realised it was essential.
Yeah, exactly. But it's a very complicated thing, isn't it? So this disaster mainly involves Americans. Hello to any American listeners. Right, so the tide was turning, as we said, and plans were afoot for the start of the main push back into Europe. Operation Overlord.
D-Day.
The day.
And if you're a millennial, you could look up D-Day if you could be bothered to tear yourself away from Snapchat or dwelling on microaggressions. Go and learn something.
Okay. All right, Dad. So, Dad has spoken. Go outside and get some fresh air, for God's sake. Look it up in an encyclopedia.
D-Day.
The day. Do you think that's how Irish people called it?
D-Day.
Ah, D-Day.
What, the neutral Irish?
Father died in the day. Back in the day, in November of that year, 1943, 3,000 residents of the small village around Slapton were given 6 weeks to evacuate their homes, farms, pubs and shops. They went, get out. Mm. I wonder if they give them a reason. It's such a different time.
Just requisition for war
literally
use.
Literally rock up and go, you, piss off.
Yeah. You know. I've been to a place in Dorset, the village that was requisitioned.
Really?
But they never came back.
Well, I suppose you wouldn't, would you?
It's just this derelict village you walk round.
How weird.
Still as it was when they left.
That's amazing.
Middle of a shooting range.
Wow.
So it's only open certain times of the year.
Really?
And still got the church there. Some of the houses. Tynham.
Oh, that's fucking great. I'd love to go there.
Fascinating. They just left. Never came back.
I mean, I think if you lived on the South Coast, anywhere on the South Coast, you just have to expect that, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Have to expect. I think you'd be pretty pissed off if you were living in, like, Glasgow. Why have I got to fuck off?
Yeah, they had no choice.
They didn't know why they were being told to piss off. They were just, a man with a big moustache came in and said, you need to leave now. Then in December 1943 and early 1944... into these empty villages, US soldiers arrived in their thousands. Just loads and loads of GIs all pissing into these little villages. Now, these were the GIs who were going to mount the assault on the beachheads of Normandy during the day. Okay? Slaps and Sands was needed to provide training for this, and it was chosen because of its similarity to the part of Normandy that had been designated as Utah Beach.
Utah Beach, one of the main...
Utah Beach.
D-Day landing.
Utah beaches. Beach. Utah Beach.
Yeah, you're showing your age. But
Utah Beach.
I know what you mean.
One of the main D-Day beaches, as you absolutely said. This training was known as Exercise Tiger.
That sounds like a proper exercise.
Exercise Tiger. Guys, Exercise Tiger.
Balls in it.
Now, that doesn't mean that Exercise Tiger was just one event, Phil, in case you were thinking that. Oh. It's a series of exercises all coming under that broad name. Basically, they're just getting ready for today.
Got it.
Okay, so come today... They're ready.
So...
Tedious?
Disrespectful.
No, it isn't. We won. We won today.
Carry on.
Exercise Tiger was to last from the 22nd of April until the 30th of April 1944, and it was going to cover all aspects of the invasion, right, culminating in a beach landing at Slapton Sands. Big old dress rehearsal for D-Day.
Mm-hmm.
To simulate as close as possible the conditions that the troops were likely to meet at Utah Beach on the day, the Allied Supreme Commander, Dwight D. Eisenhower...
Later to be president.
Also, was he a bit mad? No.
No.
Who was the madder one? There was one who wanted to line the top of Korea with nuclear waste so the Chinese couldn't invade.
Oh, I don't know. Don't know about that.
It might be MacArthur. Anyway, so this is Dwight D. Eisenhower. He ordered that live ammunition be used in the culmination of the exercise. The ammunition would be fired over the soldiers' heads. It does sound like a strange idea at this point.
You know, they still do it.
Really?
But the idea is to replicate as close as possible battle scenes. And also, even if people know it's an exercise, if there's live ammunition, they are on guard.
They
are getting used to the fear, the possibility.
Fucking dangerous,
Even the British... I've got friends who have been in the army, and they've done live...
Wow.
Live ammunition exercises.
I mean, bloody hell, that must be terrifying.
Oh.
Utterly terrifying. I suppose that's the point. That is the point.
That's part of the point, yeah.
So, the exercise started on the 22nd of April, and it was going fine.
Okay.
So, let's hop over the first 3 days where they absolutely sorted that. That was great. Everything was going fine according to plan. And moved to the evening of the 26th of April.
Right.
This was when the first wave of assault troops boarded their transport and set off. And the plan was to simulate the channel crossing to Normandy by taking a roundabout route through Lyme Bay.
Very nearby, Lyme Regis.
In order to arrive off Slapton at first light on the 27th of April, just like...
Like D-Day.
D-Day. Okay, now this brings us to the first tragedy of Exercise Tiger, the friendly fire incident.
Now, this incident is often overlooked because of the horror that happened the following day. Or, as some people have claimed, because the US government have never acknowledged it in the same way that they have with the second tragedy at Slapton, which we'll come on to shortly. Now, this is a tale shrouded in mystery, claims, counterclaims and denial. So let's try and give a brief overview of this. H hour on April the 27th was set for 7:30 a.m. Do you know what H hour is, Phil?
That sounds like somebody writing hour with a stutter, if I'm honest. Is that something they've just had to get... They've had to sort out later. Go, oh, he's got a fucking stutter. But
it's Ronnie Barker. It's Arkwright.
Hour?
No, Phil. Okay. H-hour is the specific time at which an operation or exercise commences.
Oh, that's a thing. That's not just this. It's always.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, it's a military thing.
Okay.
As we said, this was to be one of the live ammunition exercises.
Madness.
There was even to be a naval bombardment of the beach by a British cruiser just offshore, just to really ram home how realistic that was. That's, and that was supposed to happen just before the troops landed.
It's worse than a Kubrick film, isn't it?
Things, however, went tragically wrong. A delay to landing craft being ready meant that the time when the British cruiser would shell the beach was put back an hour. But that decision was not communicated to several of the landing craft, with the result that the American servicemen charged the beach under fire from the cruiser at sea.
Christ.
Additionally, it appears that those given live ammunition to fire over the invaders' heads were not properly informed of their task or the nature of their ammunition, and therefore they aimed at and killed their own men arriving on the sands.
Shit!
Horrendous.
They must have known pretty quickly, though, because they wouldn't have been expecting those people to drop.
No, I mean, I...
Maybe
I,
they can't...
Yeah, I don't know, but yeah, I just... Nobody really knows the details of this one. This is why...
That's terrible, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, well, you know, this disaster was, for obvious reasons of morale and the protection of D-Day plans, kept completely secret at the time. It was said that the bodies of about 150 men killed in the tragedy were hastily buried in a number of mass graves a little way inland.
Bloody hell.
Yeah, their remains later exhumed and removed to other destinations unknown. Some have suggested far greater casualty numbers, as high as 450.
This is a massacre. It's like, it's literally they've massacred 450 men on a beach.
Mm. And yet this is the one that's little known.
This is the smaller bit of this
tragedy. This is the smaller bit that hardly anyone knows about.
Yeah.
The bigger bit, not many people know about.
Bloody hell.
Yeah, it's... I mean, it is a sketchy story, this one, and we don't know and may not ever know all the facts, the exact numbers. There are many accounts, though, of people who were present that day. There's a lot of surviving soldiers who talk about how the sea ran red with the blood of bodies floating in the, on the surface of the water.
Bloody hell.
And how they saw infantrymen mown down like ninepins, as one soldier says, by the friendly fire.
By friendly fire?
Yeah.
Jesus
and
Christ.
There's loads of tales of locals who said, oh, yeah, you know, I remember seeing carts of coffins. There were loads of people secretly buried in that big pit and then dug up later in the war.
Jesus
and,
Christ.
There's all sorts. I mean, whether it's, you know, everything corroborates, you don't know. But there are definitely people who were around that village at the time who will say things like that.
It's a titanic fuck-up, that,
oh,
isn't
it's
it?
Monumental,
such a
isn't
monumental
it?
Fuck-up.
Yeah. Wow. What a loss. The Pentagon, though, has never mentioned any friendly fire disaster at Slapton Sands. And a spokesman for the US Army Center of Military History has stated,
we don't know of any official incident other than the German T-4 convoy.
Now, the German T-4 convoy is the second tragedy of Slapton Sands. That's the one that slightly more is known about, and we're going to come to that now. But that one is...
horrible. That's a massive... That's like a mass shooting.
Yeah. So, the German T-4 convoy tragedy. Do you want to take us through that, Phil?
So the next one, which is arguably much worse, I suppose.
I mean, yeah, if possible.
Yeah. So it's already been pretty bad, and then the next day, even worse. The German T-4 convoy tragedy of April the 28th, surprisingly, surpassed the friendly fire horror of the previous day. I mean, definitely in terms of the amount of people killed. This was another convoy of 8 landing craft filled with men ready to storm Slapton Sands.
So, essentially, another version of
giving it another go.
Screwed up the night before.
Yeah. On the evening of the 27th and very early on the morning of the 28th, they were out in the English Channel experiencing the sea conditions near Slapton. That convoy should have been protected by 2 large naval vessels, but was actually left vulnerable when one was damaged in a collision and had to leave the exercise for repair, which you wouldn't be worried about too much, you know.
No, I don't even think the Americans knew that, actually.
Yeah, it's just, you know. I don't know how much that would have helped. But anyway. Now, this is where the German E-boats come in. I've not heard of an E-boat before.
No, you'd have heard of a U-boat.
I've heard of a U-boat,
which is obviously
a
submarine. An E-boat is a boat. It doesn't go underground, but it's a fast, rapid attack little tiny boat. It goes about 40 knots.
How big is it?
They're not massively big. They're only...
But we're not talking like a speedboat, right? We're talking like
a sort of
yacht?
Yeah, they're not big.
Little gunboats.
Yeah, they're not big.
Now, these E-boats routinely patrolled the channel and they were able to cause a huge deal of damage in a very short time. I suppose because they're fast, they got a lot of weaponry, right?
Mm.
Now, 9 of these E-boats had left their port in Cherbourg that previous evening and were then attracted to the area near Slapton because of the radio traffic they picked up because of the, I guess, the operations.
Yeah, the toing and froing. I've just checked that an E-boat was 32 metres long.
Oh, okay. Brilliant. Okay. Now, these E-boats were actually sighted by the Allies and a warning was passed to the single Navy vessel protecting the convoy. But its commander failed to pass the information on to the Americans because not only had he assumed they'd been told already...
Assumed.
But the British and the Americans used different radio frequencies and so couldn't communicate with each other.
That's fundamental, isn't
that's
it?
That's a bit shit, isn't it?
Yeah.
But the first one, oh, there's something extremely deadly in the water. I'm sure they know. I'm sure they know.
Sort of thing I'd say to Jules when she said, can you make a phone call? I'm like, no, I'm sure it'll be fine.
It'll be fine.
I don't like making phone calls.
I don't either. I'm sure they'll work it out. Yeah, I'm sure it was a boating accident. There's no way that's a 20-foot shark. Okay, the sad thing here, well, one of the sad things, is that British shore batteries knew of the E-boat threat, but they were ordered not to open fire as it would reveal their positions. What a bind.
Because obviously they're trying to keep everything secret for D-Day. They don't want the Germans to know they've got defensive positions there. So it was almost a case of what is the...
I mean, they're sacrificing the people, really, aren't they, I think. So, we have 8 landing craft heading towards the Slapton beach, completely unaware that 9 German E-boats loaded with torpedoes were closing in. It's not looking good, Phil, for the people on Slapton Sands.
It is not. Shortly after 2 a.m. in the dark, all of a sudden, and without warning, German torpedoes started slamming these landing craft. One boat was immediately devastated by a huge explosion and engulfed in flames. The fire fed by the gasoline in the vehicles aboard, because obviously as well as people, there were tanks and lorries and, you know, everything you would need for an invasion on board. Another boat lost its stern, but eventually did limp back into port. A third boat was completely shattered by multiple hits, rolled over and went to the bottom of the sea in less than 6 minutes.
Doing this podcast, I've never thought before how quickly boats sink. Like, I've never thought of it like that. They literally go under so quickly.
And this was horrendous because there was little time for launching any lifeboats. Trapped below decks, hundreds of soldiers and sailors went down with these ships. Others leapt into the sea, but many soon drowned. They were either weighed down by their sodden clothes and kit. Others were killed by their life jackets, which were wrongly worn around their waists instead of under their armpits. And this meant that it flipped them onto their fronts and forced down their face and chest underwater. And they couldn't get up.
Bloody hell, that's
awful.
That is
horrendous. And still more succumbed to hypothermia in the cold water. It's absolutely horrendous. So you've essentially got 8 landing craft, 3 have been absolutely mullered.
Yeah.
Another one got slightly damaged. The others were actually okay.
Oh, okay.
But you've got, you know, a lot of people crammed in these landing craft.
How many people do you reckon reached these landing
craft? You're looking at, you know, you're getting on for sort of 400 or 500 in
oh,
these.
Oh, really? Shitloads.
Yeah,
oh, okay.
Yeah, there's a lot of people in these.
Are these the landing crafts that you see on in the films that they open at the front and everybody...
No, these are bigger ships. These are more sort of transporters.
Oh, okay.
But it's still, yes, they would have played a part in D-Day, but we're not talking here the
ones you see in the films at the front, at the start of...
Not at this point, anyway.
Saving Private Ryan.
No, these aren't the ones that were torpedoed. No.
Oh, okay.
In the confusion, Allied commanders ordered all of the remaining vessels to scatter immediately. But the trouble with that is it left hundreds of men floating in the icy waters. One of the boats, however, refused to obey that command and turned around to launch a rescue mission. Because don't forget, the E-boats had not hit every one of these landing craft. That act of turning round saved about 130 lives.
Wow.
By this time, though, the E-boats had scattered, but it had taken them just 30 minutes to inflict total carnage.
Wow.
That is awful.
Yeah.
Complicated, isn't it? Is it miscommunication? Is it no effective communication?
I mean, it feels like it's a big old slice of bad luck, to be honest.
Yeah.
Because their hands are tied. The first, you know, the friendly fire thing, I mean, that's... bad communication all over, isn't it? You know, but this, there is a certain bit of just war is hell in this in this second one, isn't it? You know, they are literally trying to kill them, isn't it?
Yeah.
So that was Exercise Tiger.
What a fuck up. The now official death toll figure of 749 people killed in Exercise Tiger was a higher number of deaths than those killed actually storming the beaches on D-Day.
On the real D-Day.
On the real D-Day. They lost more soldiers practicing.
Oh God almighty.
Than they did actually on D-Day. It's the worst loss of life befallen American troops since Pearl Harbor. And some say that the actual death toll on the day was higher, even higher. Not least because of the further friendly fire incidents on the shore after the German torpedoing.
Yes, there was talk that a kind of smaller version of what went on the day before happened.
Jesus.
So after being torpedoed, they got to the beach and then there was friendly fire. Again, that's a really hard... The friendly fire stuff is really hard to prove. But there are... rumours that happened on this day as well.
Wow, that's awful, isn't it? But this thing about them, more people being killed at Slapton Sands than the beaches at D-Day, to a certain extent, that was what you would want, I suppose, because you've practiced, you've got ready, you've got better, you've sorted out the problems. Lots of people have died, but there's a reason you're practicing, and then when you actually did it...
Well, I guess there's less that, people. But maybe you'd ideally want... more men going into D-Day.
Well, yes, I mean, I'm not saying
I don't think
it's
you
good.
Want people to die. I mean, you want
good.
To... Well, but this is...
But
I'm
saying that's what you would hope for. You wouldn't say more people died on D-Day because you're like, oh, we did lots of work trying to make sure that not that many people did die.
Well, the strange thing is that overall, in the sort of higher military circles, the actual exercise was considered a success.
Yeah.
Because they did learn.
Yeah. Really
because
learned.
Those things
they
could
learned.
Have happened.
They
not
learned
or
not
a friendly
to shoot
fire,
their
obviously
own men.
Not.
Yeah.
But yeah, but radio communications and stuff, if that had happened on D-Day.
Sorted.
So, yeah, I get what you're saying, yeah.
Okay. Now, of course, because it was wartime, nothing of what happened at Slapton Sands that night was made public at the time. Although rumours in Devon of bulk deliveries of coffins were rife and rooted in truth, that would have been sinister.
God,
like that,
yeah.
There's something very Hammer horror film about that. About like, Jesus, a lot of coffins.
Because you're not being
Slapton.
Told what's going on at Slapton.
Yeah.
So nobody knows, and suddenly all these
coffins.
There was I didn't put it in, but I read about a lady who was employed to put brass plaques on coffins, and she had to do coffins, and she had to do loads and loads of them. And when asked what she was doing it for, they just went, oh, some friendly fire problems.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, so they were open about it then, sort of.
Well, again, there are other people going, no, that didn't happen. She made that up.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's this is the trouble, the local rumours, you know.
Anyway, well, the dead were all quickly interred in England or transported home. Orders went out imposing the strictest secrecy on all who knew of the tragedy. Medical staff at military hospitals who treated the wounded were not, on pain of court-martial, allowed to ask the injured how they got wounded.
Tough, isn't it?
What if they just started chatting about it? The fear was, you see, that the Germans might find out what they had accomplished or learn of the crucial link between Slapton Sands, Utah Beach and D-Day.
Makes sense.
In actual fact, what the E-boat crews actually thought they had torpedoed was a line of tankers.
Ah.
So they didn't suspect at all.
Which is probably, if you wanted the Germans to go away thinking anything, you'd probably want them to think that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So another success.
But this is what, you know, it's not unusual. Things get hushed up in wartime for all sorts of reasons. And you totally understand why this was hushed up at the time.
And it's not like they weren't, people didn't realise it had been a massive fuck up. 2 months after the tragedy, the Rear Admiral in charge of Exercise Tiger, DP Moon, commits suicide. I mean, you can't say, I guess we don't know if that was an absolute reaction. I mean, war is hell. So we don't know if that's a reaction to what happened at Slapton Sands, but that is who that guy was, and he killed himself. The residents of Slapton and the surrounding areas were allowed back into their homes in 1945.
Yes, so just at the end of
just
the
at
war.
The end. All kissing, bunting up, cakes, Victoria Sponge.
Not having a clue what went on their lovely, pretty beach.
Lovely. Knees up, Nova Brown.
But this is the thing you see with this is where the cover-up things come from, because everyone says, oh, it's completely covered up. And it actually, this... event, this German U-boat event, wasn't actually. It was 2 months after this event. It was briefly mentioned in some war dispatches. But what happened is it just got forgotten.
Yeah.
And then, funny enough, it was actually in the 60s somebody sort of came across it and was like, oh, right. And because he sort of discovered it quite a long time after it happened, everyone assumed, oh, it had been a massive cover-up. It wasn't. You wanted to look and research, you would have found out about it.
But this is
just
the thing,
nobody knew
it?
About it.
It's that the Second World War, in particular, is massive. Mm. That's why, you know, the History Channel is what it is, isn't it?
Yeah.
There are endless, endless stories about the Second World War, and they're all horrific.
Yeah.
And each one individually, you'd think, would be, you know, massively famous, but there's just such a huge sway of terrible things happening for
that's
5 years.
That's the thing, and it just gets lost in the general sort of general fog. And,
yeah.
And, but it's this one's quite bizarre because, like I say, I've been there a couple of times, and it is just a pretty beach, and you wouldn't have a clue except that there's a American tank that was dragged out of the sea and placed.
I've seen pictures.
Yeah, placed in the car park at the top of the beach as a memorial, and it's got a couple of plaques on it.
Yeah,
one guy did this. Was a local hotelier in the 60s, and he was kind of the guy that brought it all back into public. And he was like, no, we need that as a memorial.
There must be other stuff under the sea there.
Oh, yeah.
There must be.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. We got two ships that sunk.
Yeah, still there.
As far as I know, they're still there. And obviously they were loaded with tanks and things like that. So, yeah, there's a load of stuff. So it's weird. It's an eerie place.
What are the lessons? Tell us some lessons that were learned. Tragic events of Project Tiger. Not a project, is it?
Absolutely not a project. It's a very bad one if it was. Well, you know, I think we mentioned this. Tragic though these events were, they actually informed the planning of D-Day and help to minimise the losses on the actual day, June the 6th, 1944, for millennials.
You want your fuck-ups on the dress rehearsal, don't
exactly,
you?
Yeah. Exactly, exactly. Lessons learnt included the need for British and American radio frequencies to be coordinated, basic,
yep.
More extensive life jacket training,
yep.
And better procedures to get men out of the water quicker.
Yes, brilliant. You know. Yes.
So, in that sense, they learnt lessons. And as I said, today, all that remains at Slapton, to remind anyone, is this Sherman tank stuck at the end of the car park with a couple of plaques on. Beyond that, you wouldn't know. You wouldn't know at all. It's just a nice, pretty beach. Eerie, though, when you do
eerie,
know. Because I've been a couple of times, and both times I knew.
Yeah.
I mean, that's why I went.
It must be even eerier when people are, like, sunbathing and playing with big beach balls. You know, even eerier.
It's like weird. There's one in Dorset called Studland Bay, which is a National Trust beach. It's an absolutely beautiful beach, one of my probably my favourite beach. It's so gorgeous. And that was used for practising D-Day. And they had a thing that went all wrong where people drowned and,
oh, really?
And all sorts. Yeah, that was a D-Day fuck-up exercise. And then you sort of think, oh, God, that's horrible. And then you sort of sit here and hear the people walking their dogs. And
Yeah,
it's weird. Like you say, aura.
Aura.
There's an aura to these places.
So that was the Titanic fuck-up that was the Slapton Sands tragedy.
Ah.
Phil, in the final analysis, our fault, God's fault, our fault, God's fault, our fault, God's fault, go!
Whoa. It was a communications balls-up for tragedy number one.
Yep.
And it was the Germans' fault for tragedy number two.
Pesky Germans.
And a few communication cock-ups too.
So it's us.
Our fault.
It's us. Us again.
If we want to lump the Germans and the English together,
yep.
British together,
yep.
Which is exactly what we should be doing.
Absolutely. Especially at this difficult time.
The human race.
Especially at this difficult time.
Absolutely.
Kriegsart.
We are the world. It yep. was our fault, not God's fault.
We seem to be erring on the our fault.
I was thinking about this yesterday when I was doing research, and it seems to be that if it is a natural catastrophe like an earthquake or a volcano, it's God's fault.
Yes, definitely.
And we haven't done many of those recently.
And we haven't done one for ages, have
no,
we?
No, they're not as interesting.
No, they aren't, because God just shakes things or blows things.
Yeah, it's...
That's all he does is shake or blow.
He just has basic... very quick anger management issues.
Yes, very quick.
The pipe down very quickly.
Yes, it's
whereas
right.
we cause monumental fuck-ups that last for years
that last
and
for
years,
years
and years
and years. And years and
yeah,
years.
We're the only species that shits in its own home.
Oh, don't we though?
Lovely.
Yeah. So,
well, apart from hamsters and cats. And
they don't really have a choice though, hamsters, do they? They can't go, I'm just going to the outhouse. No, I'm not allowed out. Oh, okay. I'll have to shit in my water again. So that was Slapton Sands. Phil, do you enjoy it?
Well, you always ask me that, and enjoy is a weird word to use.
That's
but
why
I found
do it every
very
time
interesting.
It makes you uncomfortable. That's what I like to
do. Yeah. I used to know a guy who used to come up to me when he'd see you. He'd go, hi, so what do you know?
Oh, I hate
and I'm
that.
Like, I just hated that phrase.
I hate that. All right, mate, would you know? Yeah, what's occurring? Oh, go fuck yourself.
Just say hello. Are you
just
right?
Just say hello.
Yeah, did you find it interesting?
Bloody marvellous.
Did you learn anything?
No. Of course I did. Yes, I did. I was very, very interesting. I like the war ones. And it is true that somehow there's something different about it being soldiers, because it's sort of the friendly fire part isn't part of the job.
Mm.
But there is, to a certain extent, it's part of the job. Do you know what I mean?
Yes. I get that. But obviously it's a shame when...
Yeah, you're not actually engaged.
You're not in battle. Yeah, you're just some monumental cock-up. But yeah.
I mean,
it's
in Full Metal Jacket, isn't it? Where he says, "Soldiers die. That's our job."
Yeah,
you know, and
yeah.
that is the sort of the job, isn't it?
It is a tragedy, whichever way you look at it.
But yes, it's a horrible tragedy, and it's interesting that all of these beaches, like down in Dorset and Cornwall,
yeah, well, of course, the south coast was going to get any first wave battering if there was an invasion, and in this case, they were trying to use beaches that closest represented Normandy. That beach is so similar because it's a bizarre beach. It's like a thin beach. It's just a very thin, long beach with a road running behind it. And behind that road is a lake.
Yeah, a big estuary
or something.
Slapton
Lee, yeah. So that replicated Utah Beach. But also it's kind of bizarre. It's almost like the road runs through the water.
Yeah.
So it's kind of...
It's really... I looked it on Google Maps this morning and it's a weird setup, that beach.
It's an odd thing.
And I can see it being quite a sort of sinister place.
I've been there in the winter and it's pretty bleak.
Lovely and bleak.
Yeah, really bleak in the winter.
Okay, so that was the end of episode 21.
21 we've done now.
Wow, we've broken the back of 21 episodes.
Does that mean we've
pain,
been doing this
misery
year?
And bleakness?
Yeah.
No, nowhere near. It starts in October.
Oh, okay.
Starts in October.
But 21 episodes.
Yep.
We release every 2 weeks, so that's 40. You're right, that's not a year.
No, not a year.
Okay.
Not a year.
Oh, shut up.
No, a different amount of time.
Mm. I get you.
Got anything to plug, Phil?
I haven't.
Oh.
Actually. Have you? Shame.
No, I don't think so.
No.
No, nothing to plug. Tell you what, just keep listening to this podcast. If the war pedants want to tell us we've got something wrong, they're very, very welcome, genuinely so.
Well, we do actually want to know if there are mistakes.
Yes, we do want to know that.
We want to know that. What we don't want to know is... You got it wrong.
Yeah, we don't want that. Don't want that. But, you know, if we've got anything wrong, tell us. How can they have a go at us about what we've said?
All the normal social media channels. We're on Facebook, Crash Bang Wallop. We're on Twitter.
Yep.
You can find us at CB Wallop.
Cool.
Or on Instagram, we're at Wallop Bang. You're welcome to contact us however you like. Our preferred form of communication is Twitter, just because it's easy for us to log on and see, and it's easy and straightforward. But don't let that stop you reaching out to us however you want to. We really do love.
Don't come round.
Oh god, no.
Don't come round.
I don't even want people I really like coming round, let alone strangers.
No, don't come round.
Oh.
Or a letter. I don't want that either.
No.
Twitter.
Twitter. Safe.
Yeah.
People can leave iTunes reviews if they really like
they
us.
Bloody
can't they?
Can't they? Yeah, that would be great.
We'd love that.
Even if you don't want to write something, you can leave us a star rating. You have to give five stars though, because anything under five stars does download a virus onto your computer and share your internet history. So it has to be a five star review. That would be really great if you could
and
do that.
And it sends a message to the pedo hotline at your local station, police station, and tells everyone that you're a pedo.
I'm surprised they have that pedo hotline, because I'd have thought pedos would want to keep it quiet. Why are they ringing up going, "I'm a pedo"? Hey, so am I. Okay, thank you so much for listening to the 21st episode of the Crash Bang Wallop podcast. Phil, got anything to add?
No, I just think it's impressive we managed to get Nazis and pedos in that one episode.
Absolutely, Nazis and pedos. This is the CB Wallop podcast. Thank you so much for listening. We'll see you in 2 weeks' time with another horrific, bleak tragedy of human woe and horror.
Yay!
Thank you so much for listening. We'll see you next time. Goodbye.
Bye-bye.